Morning. The first thing I always start my sermons with is a prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm blessed to be able to be here this morning. I'm blessed to be in front of your people. Help me to give words that reflect you and not me. May the words I speak be your words and not mine. You love us so dearly. Help my words to bring that love to those who listen to me. Help me to speak your words. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The scripture for today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 55. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country. When she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God, and we thanks be to God. The two words that I'm using for today's sermon are acceptance and consequence. Mary had a lot going on in her life right now. She had accepted the word of the angel and she had accepted the fact that the Lord of hosts would be growing within her. Hers was the first influx of the Spirit. And when she accepted that, it changed her. And what we are listening to today in the words of the scripture are one of the first consequences of that particular event. Because as the child was growing within her, she was growing closer to God. She was growing closer to how she was going to be taking care of this child that would become the King of Kings. And because of this growing relationship with God that had started by her acceptance of the burden of bearing a child, she came forth with this beautiful hymn that most people know of as the Magnificat. I was tempted to read it in Latin today, but I chose not to. But there are many, if you go online, there are many beautiful musical renditions of this. And because it is a song of joy and acceptance of what God has done for her. She realizes what she is going to have to go through. But she is at this point filled with joy because of that. This consequence of joy is something that she will feed back on. Because as all of us who are parents know, there are many joys that we experience as we raise our children. And we don't have a great deal of information of the early life of Jesus. We go from his birth to when he's about 12 years old. But those of us who are parents know the sort of things that had to happen, particularly in the early days, particularly when the child was so totally dependent on its mother. And even though Mary was a very young person, she accepted this role of motherhood, and she obviously did it very, very well. The consequence of her acceptance was raising this very unique child to the point where he could begin to fulfill his mission. After Jesus turned 12, and we know of the story where he was preaching in the temple while his parents had left, and at that point he said he had to be about his father's business. That was another consequence that Mary had to accept. This child had been totally dependent on her for food and shelter and love. And now she began to realize some of the other consequences of her original acceptance. She began to realize that this child was not just hers. This child belonged to all of us at all times. And that began to make her realized that this was going to be different. That as this child continued to grow, she would have to accept other consequences. Now, during Christ's ministry, during the time when he actually told us how that we should act, how we would eventually be Christians, how he showed us what we needed to do, Mary isn't mentioned that much. We know that she's there, and there are, it's not without completely without mention, but we don't hear a great deal about her. But we know that she's still there. And we know that she continues to have the deep love that a mother has for her child. Whatever he is doing, whatever he is accomplishing, whatever powers that he's stirring up, she continues to love him and accept that what he is doing is part of the original acceptance that she had. That what he is doing is part of what she was proclaiming here in the Magnificat. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. And he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. She saw the beginnings of this. And perhaps she understood it more than some of the disciples, because she had accepted long ago the idea that God was with Jesus, that Jesus was God and had originally grown within her and was so infused with love that she realized, perhaps better than the apostles, what was going on. But she stayed in the background. And the events of Christ's life continued to unfold, particularly his battles with the powers that be at that time. And then it led to the crucifixion. It led to the events where Jesus took on the powers that were causing the problems at that particular time. Jesus went back to Jerusalem of his own volition. Jerusalem was the center of power, both for the Jewish hierarchy and also for the Romans who were ruling Judea at that time. This was where the powers were. This is where the powers that would have to be brought down existed. But Jesus was not a conqueror. Not in the sense that the people wanted him to be. Jesus conquered through love rather than through force of arms. And consequently, Jesus' path was not one of military conquest when he returned to Jerusalem, but it was one of subservience. subservience to the will of God, and subservience to his mission of redemption. He brought the love of Christ, love of God, excuse me, to the people, and they did not accept it at that time. They called for his crucifixion. They turned him over to the Roman authorities, and he was crucified. And that leads us to the second scripture, the one that Chris read earlier. And I'm reading from that, again, from the New Revised Standard. And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. This consequence was perhaps one that Mary may have foretold in her own mind, but could not possibly have done anything but fear it. The idea of seeing your own son so abused, so brought down by the forces around him, to suffer the death of a criminal on a cross with other criminals. This was the consequence that was by far the worst of her original acceptance. This consequence made her not regret that her acceptance, but it hurt her more deeply than anything else could have. And yet, Jesus always remembered his mother. And Jesus wanted to make sure that she was taken care of. We have the full circle from Mary's acceptance of Jesus in her womb, the 30-odd years before that, to this final point where she is seeing him die on the cross. She has seen his ministry, even though she has not actively participated, and she knows that what he is doing is being led by God, with the God within him, in him. She sees him go from a dependent child to a strong leader who is able to change the world. Think of the pride that she felt during the course of his ministry when he was healing the sick, when he was showing the mercy that he wants us to show. Think of the pride that she felt in all the good works that she saw him doing. But all those good works led to this, led to this final consequence that she perhaps envisioned, but desperately, desperately did not want to witness. And yet she knew she had to, because she knew that this was another way, the greatest way, that her son was showing the love that he had embodied his entire life, showing that love in the act of redemption that was the crucifixion, giving himself up in our place. Mary's life was a life of acceptance. There are many times in our own lives where we realize that there are things we can't change. A sickness in a loved one that we have no control over. Death of loved ones. There are so many things that we have to accept in our own lives. Just like Mary's life was a life of acceptance. But one thing that we need to remember is that Mary used that acceptance to continue to enhance her relationship with God. Even though she was a special person in a special time, she used the tools she had as a human to accept and use that acceptance to become closer to God. That's what we need to strive to do when we are encountering things that we cannot change. Things in our life that are so hurtful, that so deeply stab us, and yet there's nothing that we can do about it. At those moments in time, we need to remember to turn to God. We need to remember that the love of Christ that he showed through his life and up to and including his crucifixion is there for us. All we have to do is remember it and let it suffuse us. Let it come through us. Let it be there for us as a comfort. The love of Christ is deep beyond our ability to imagine. It's always there. Perhaps Mary felt it in a different way because of her specific role. But it is there for all of us anytime we want it. It's there to bring us comfort. It's there to also encourage us and strengthen us when we encounter things that we can change. Things in our own life that need to be changed, he gives us the strength to do that also. The consequence of Mary's original acceptance was a loving God that we all have access to. A loving God that brings us comfort and brings us a depth of love that we could not get anywhere else. Help us this season to feel that love a little bit more closely than we normally do. Christmas is a time of joy and sadness. But help us to always reach out for the love that we know is there. A love that goes so deep that we cannot ever use it up. It may seem far away, but it's always there. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the acceptance that Mary had to bring us your Son. We are so grateful for her willingness to endure all the consequences of that original acceptance. Help us to always remember that Christ is there for us. That you are there whenever we need you. Help us to be willing to turn in that direction when all else seems hopeless. We as Christians have you as our strength. Help us to always be willing to go in that direction. Your love leads us. Your love inspires us. Your love compels us. Your love comforts us. Help us to always remember it's there. And always, always strive to be a beacon of that love for others. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.